Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Cool Zone Media.
Welcome to Jake and Appen here, the podcast where getting medication takes like 4 fucking hours because of a bunch of unbelievable bureaucratic bullshit. I'm your host, Mia Wong, who was asked by my pharmacist today, and I quote, "Have you been pregnant? Or have there been pregnancies?" So...
I like, have there been pregnancies?
Yeah, like that was what I was like, what?
It's like the officer involved shooting of human life.
She like, she walks up to the thing, right? And she puts the meds like it, like she's about to ring them up, right? And then she stops and then turns and walks to another person, starts talking to her boss, and then comes back and then asks me if there have been pregnancies. So I'm like, what? It's like, I am not passing. I'm just wearing like jeans, like a mask, and just like a random coat. It's been a time.
Yeah, achievement in the world of healthcare where they can simultaneously like ask you if you've been pregnant and then make you fucking labor unpaid for half a day to obtain your like basic hormone therapy or whatever it is that you need. Like, my favorite is when the health insurance makes me. This is a podcast about health insurance and how we hate it. I hope you're enjoying it. When they're like, "Hey, we need a doctor to confirm you still need the insulin." I'm, what the fuck do you think has happened? Like, if I cured this shit, you would have heard about it. Like, yeah. I didn't at-home pancreas transplant. Didn't bill you guys for it. You're welcome.
Yeah, with me is James, who is from a country that is more normal about healthcare, but is now here.
More normal is not the right word, but it's
less shit is the correct word. Unless you're trans, in which case it's about a toss-up.
I was going to say, a country which has a different approach, at least like has accepted the fact that if we're going to have the state pay for like sending bombs to kill little children in Palestine, it should also pay for my insulin, which I think is... It's a good place to start, I guess.
Yeah, there's an ideal combination there that no one has yet reached. This is the task of international socialism, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I will accept the necessity of the state only when it funds insulin, not bombs.
Yeah, but so we are here to talk about another incredibly violent state bureaucracy and the people who run it. We're going to be talking about a series of very bizarre and incredibly authoritarian crackdowns that governors, city councils, many such cases, have been invoking to nominally crack down on crime, a thing that is down everywhere and has been down everywhere for a long time.
Yeah, many such cases. It's great that that Democrat like local politicians are now doing everything that we were warned that Republican president would do 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I mean, this is one of these things. So the place we're going to start is New York Governor Hochul. Hochul? I think Hochul? That's how you pronounce her name. Hochul? Yeah, I don't know. New York keeps going through politicians faster than I can learn how to pronounce their names. So they're going to have like Andrew Cuomo the Fourth in power by the time this episode goes out. There'll be like two. There'll have been two new kings of England.
The secret sibling. Oh yeah. No, we're not making a podcast about the royal family nonsense. We don't care.
Nope. This is the best that you're getting out of that. But yeah so Hochul has deployed 750 National Guardsmen to stand outside of some subway stations. That's a tongue twister. Try saying that one five times fast in the mirror. To like do bag checks and generally just sort of stand around and be intimidating.
Yeah, it's great. I'm sure it's what those people signed up to do. I'm sure they feel fulfilled, and I'm sure everyone in New York feels safer and happier as a result of random people in camouflage being standing around a subway.
Yeah, and we're going to get into the sort of emotional effect of aspect of this, because that is ultimately what this is about. But I think... Okay, there's a lot of sort of interesting aspects of this. So, okay, there's been a lot of talk about what the sort of precursors to this are, and I'm going to ask you about, because there's a lot of very weird, absolutely dog shit National Guard deployments that have happened.
Yes, there are. We can get onto that.
I think the most immediate predecessor to this that leaps to mind. This is something I talk about on the show all the time because everyone else seems to have completely forgotten it. I refuse to let this be memory hold, which is the time that my previous shitty mayor ordered a bunch of, in 2020, ordered a bunch, this is in February 2020, so this is pre-uprising, started putting SWAT teams on subways.
Oh, great.
And they immediately did the thing that a SWAT team does, which is they started putting SWAT teams on the fucking red line. They immediately shot a guy for no reason. Like, I think if I'm remembering correctly, the thing that originally they said it was fare evasion, and it wasn't fare evasion. It was the guy walked from one train car to another train car, a thing that like millions of people do every day.
Yeah. And capital punishment for fare evasion is also wrong and bad.
Yeah. Luckily, this guy somehow survived. They shot him in the back. But yeah, they also tased him a bunch of times and then shot him. So.
Right,
you know,
good, yeah.
Bad. Yeah. However, thankfully, this guy survived. But yeah, but this is something that happens. This is something that, you know, with the current crop of right-wing mayors have been doing. And, you know, the 2021 end, it was such a fiasco that even Chicago's machine, well, it wasn't really quite the machine, but, like, even Chicago's right-wing Democrats were like, okay, we probably shouldn't do this, lest the SWAT teams have their, like, start the killing moment. But, you know, so that's like one sort of predecessor to this. And the second one is I wanted to actually ask you specifically about the federal National Guard deployments on the border, because I think that's the part of this that's just been like disappeared.
Yes, exactly. Again, those have been like completely overlooked and kind of memory holed by most, apparently, like since Biden came to power. Like there's the Texas state deployment, right, which we're all very familiar with. They get cheated out of their benefits. They tend to die from suicide, from bringing their own firearms on deployment, or getting drunk and driving around. They've had like higher casualties than they've had in deployments to Iraq in their Texas deployment, right? The federal one is different. I see these dudes often. It's nearly always dudes. Of course, women could be deployed in that capacity, but I haven't seen them. And they are, for the most part, like scared kids with firearms guarding prison camps full of children. Like I had one of these guys go to draw his pistol on me the other day because I was trying to alert him. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess like it's better in that situation that like it's not my first time having someone draw a pistol on me, and I can tell him to sit down and stop being a dick. But this in this case, right, someone was experiencing cardiac distress, and I'd gone to the nearest person who I can do, right? Like, I can't call an ambulance and have them come in there. I have to go to either get BP to radio, or in this case, National Guard. So, but what they're doing is, in addition to, like, guarding these open-air detention sites on and off, is they are conducting kind of surveillance along the border. So often I'll see them with, like, surveillance arrays, cameras, I assume also, like, listening to radios and stuff like that. They're not actually, like, interdicting or arresting migrants, are not supposed to be anyway, but what they're supposed to be doing is like kind of having that surveillance capacity and like, I guess, protection when it comes to the OADs. But yeah, they are everywhere. Like, I see these people all the time down here in, you know, certainly on the eastern San Diego County border. And I don't, and they're all in rented vehicles as well, which is weird. Like, they haven't got their Humvees or whatever. It must be a significant expense. And obviously, border crossings are not decreasing thanks to them being there, right? They mostly like cruise around. I was out doing a water drop on Sunday, and like you'll see them cruising around the dirt roads, and then obviously people therefore just avoid the roads. It doesn't reduce migration like everything else. It just makes it more dangerous. But they've been here for a while.
It's one of these things where they're doing okay. So like the guys in New York just basically seem to be standing around and doing bag checks. Whereas those guys are doing a lot more. But I think there's one of the things that's been happening here, the focus has been on the Republican Texas deployments, right? But this is something that both the Republicans and the Democrats, this is from what we're seeing in New York, and the federal government have decided that, the thing that we are going to be doing is active militia deployments. Like, that's insane. Like, that is a level of authoritarianism that is, that has become effectively normal, right? Like, there was kind of an outcry against the subway stuff, but like, it hasn't stopped. Like, as best I could tell, like, they're still out. Like, yeah, like, none of it stopped it. That we've been, the thing that we've been forced to accept is, because we've already been forced to accept sort of the militarization of the police, right? But now it's just straight up the total militarization of society, to the extent that, like, we just have a bunch of soldiers wandering around doing, like, random security checks and doing surveillance and, like, holding people in these open-air prisons.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, deployed way outside their state often, right? I think some of the people here are from Missouri or Illinois, like, some of the less kind of insane... the people who mistake me for a member of the cartel, judging by that guy's actions, or like some ridiculous, somehow a threat to him, that we can talk to them. And, it's a very bullshit mission. And I think most of them would agree. Like, further east, they're just like standing around by the border wall in the baking sun in the desert, just doing security theater. But with, as you said, real consequences.
Yeah, and it's like the thing that is happening is these people have realized that the National Guard, if you are a senior enough state official, is just your private army. You can do whatever the fuck you want with it, and this is the thing that they're doing with it. And I think we should, it's worth looking at what the sort of justification for this is.
I neglected to mention that there are a dozen Republican governors who have deployed their National Guard to the border, right? Yeah. Not as part of the federal deployment, like to your private army thing. And I believe that North Dakota, it's funded by a private individual. Like, a private individual is covering the state's cost to deploy them to the border. Like, this is
nuts.
Yeah, fully insane. They're serving as a fucking PMC.
Yeah, but I mean, we're seeing, very explicitly, we're seeing this fusion of like personal state and corporate power, and that's being used to just deploy a bunch of guys with guns to a bunch of random places. And it's worth mentioning that like crime rates are down, they're down year on year, they're down, like the broad trend is down, they're down like outrageous, like I think it's down like almost like 50% or something from the 90s, right? Like,
yeah. And likewise, the ratio of people crossing the border to agents to process them is much lower than it was in the 90s. We have more Border Patrol agents. We have a more militarized Border Patrol. They have all these assets that were previously seen only as, like, see a Black Hawk all the fucking time. Yeah. We call it the Scrap Hawk. It's like several Black Hawks. It's not any particular submodel of Black Hawk. It's like the surviving pieces of several Black Hawks. But yeah, they have a lot of kit that you would think would be military kit.
Yeah, and so when I was reading about this, I was like, okay, so I was trying to figure out how many crimes are actually happening on New York subway system. But I'm gonna read this paragraph from Reuters because it is outrageous. There were 38 robberies and 70 thefts, including pickpocketing, on the subway system in February, compared to 40 robberies and 98 thefts in the same month last year, according to police data. There were 35 assaults, the same number as for February 2023. About 90 million trips were taken on the subway over the month. Now, that is nuts. The subway, including pickpocketing, right? You're at about 100?
Yeah, yeah, like incidents? a trivial number of incidents.
90 million trips, right? This means that, like, per trip, your odds of being pickpocketed are almost literally 1 in 1,000,000. This is about the same odds you have of being struck by lightning. You are 17 times more likely to get killed by a bee or a wasp sting than you are to be, like, pickpocketed, not even robbed, pickpocketed on the subway, right? I think there was 3 killings on the New York subway in February.
Yeah, there was a shooting, I think, today or yesterday, wasn't there?
Yeah, yeah, but this is the thing. So these things get a lot of attention, right? But again, 30 million trips, we're talking like maybe 3, maybe 4 people getting killed a month. So that's like 1 in 30 million rides.
Yeah.
Someone gets shot. That is outrageously safe. Like, that is bafflingly, startlingly safe. But this sort of brings us to, well, okay, the thing that this immediately brings us to is an ad break. But it will bring us to a second thing after the ad break.
Oh, great. Yeah, I hope it's a good one.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back for the ads. We're bringing you, actually, amazingly, advertisements. Part of the whole thing that's happening here, because, you know, one of the big drivers of what's been happening in New York, and the reason everyone thinks the subway is unsafe, is New York's media market. And the media market in the U.S. is not good, right? But very specifically, the New York media market is absolutely batshit. They are nuts. And this is one of these things where, you know, you may have like a 1 in 30 million chance of getting killed on a subway, but every single one of those 30 million, like, incidents, like, all those 1 in 30 million, every single one of those is like front page news, right? Because this is, you know, this is both part of the actual sort of conservative politics of these media organizations. They are, you know, New York media market is dominated by a bunch of right-wing tabloids and a bunch of newspapers that are nominally not right-wing, but are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's this sort of breathless coverage of every single time one of these attacks happen. And this is one of the things that Hutro very much, like, literally says about this, we're at a point in this sort of crime cycle where enough journalists have been screamed at by people who are like, the crime rates are all down, that the journalists have to include in the article a thing that's like, the crime rates are down.
Right,
this took like 4 years of just screaming at them. Eventually it worked. But, you know, like, Kushal's like asked about this and she goes, yeah, well, it's about people feeling, it's about the, like, the feeling that people have because they don't seem
safe. It's a vibes based policy.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is one of these things where, like, how insane the New York media market is over this stuff has had, like, an actual substantive political impact. And this is something that, you know, the Democrats' embrace of this sort of, like, especially in New York, this, like, tough on crime thing has gotten to the point where literally Eric Adams has to be the guy who's like, no, actually, hold on. Like, it's, New York is safe. Please stop panicking. I got my police funding already. Please stop, like, fleeing the city in terror.
Yeah. It's amusing that that's similar to what's happening in San Diego, another city, Democrat council and mayor, right? So we have this Todd Gloria, terrible mayor, serial bullshitter. And Gloria, in his State of the City speech, was saying we should be locking up criminals, not laundry detergent. This was his big line that he was very proud of. I have successfully purchased laundry detergent that was not incarcerated since then. But I think he was talking about Target, I guess. Apparently, he's legislating for the interests of Target. But you have then his opponent in the mayoral race, who's a former Marine cop, Republican guy, being like, yo, I think we fucked up on our homelessness policy. We're just like, criminalizing this is not just the answer. And then we've got Gloria just being like, no, lock him up. You know, like,
yeah,
they're trying to push this continued, like, this California bill that will force incarcerate people with mental illness, right? Against their will.
Just terrible.
It's fucking, I mean, it's not bizarre because, like, I think so many Democrats and like, certainly publications here have really leaned into, like, suburban grievance politics.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, fix the potholes and make it so I don't have to see poor people is their entire ideology. But it's still, I don't know, it's just kind of, I'm struggling for the words here. It makes me really fucking pissed off. The people who showed up to one or two BLM marches are now out there, like, barking for a second border wall and machine gunning the unhoused.
Yeah. And, you know, and this has had a, especially in New York, this has been having a substantive, like, electoral impact. One of the stories that kind of got buried in 2022 is that you can actually, if you look at the electoral map in 2022, you can actually literally see where the New York media market ends, because all of the districts in the New York media market became significantly more conservative. And this is not a joke. This is literally, this whole tough on crime shit is literally the thing, like, and in this New York media market, this is what costs the Democrats the House. Because basically everywhere else in the country, there was, okay, so like red district shifted red.
Yeah.
Every single district that was contested, like all of the sort of like purple, blah, 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 like districts, they all shifted to the left because of abortion stuff. But then specifically a bunch of the, like, what are supposed to be like very safe blue districts went red because all of them were doing this insane tough on crime stuff. And those seats, like the seats they lost in New York are the reason the Republicans have control of the House. So, like, you know, this isn't working for them electorally, but they're still doing it because it's their ideology. And we're going to get into a bit more about why, about that part in a second. But before we do that, I want to talk about, I think, another one of these things that has gotten kind of lost in the shuffle, which is, have you heard about the giant, like, DC crime omnibus bill?
I've heard about this. Yeah. Like, I will say I'm not familiar with it other than, like, hearing that it's bad.
Yeah. So in DC, the city council passed this enormous sort of, like, giant set of, like, omnibus set of, like, policies that are supposed to be their, like, keep DC safe crime omnibus thing. There's a couple things to note about this. One is that it's actually not as bad as it was originally going to be, because there was so much, like, uproar. Because, I mean, the original one, like, had provisions that was, like, banning masks at protests and shit. And it was, like, it was really bad. And it got, like, nuked. But it's still really bad. And there's a lot of really weird kind of grievance stuff. Like, there's this provision specifically that's supposed to be about, like, like targeting quote unquote organized retail theft, which is one of the insane.
This is one of those like storm in a teacups that has been going for a while now.
Yeah. But I mean, there's also kind of like there's standard police stuff, which is they're trying to expand pretrial detention, which they did. One of the absolutely insane ones that have been declared unconstitutional, but apparently it's just back now, is allowing police chiefs to designate certain areas, quote, drug-free zones, where, yeah.
Sorry, people can't see. I'm confused.
Basically, what it lets you do is it lets the cops just harass a bunch of people even more than they already do. Mostly what it does is just when you declare one of these areas, it's where all the black people are, and then the cops have an incredibly increased ability to just randomly stop people and search them,
right?
And attack them for shit.
Stop and frisk law.
Yeah, there is a thing that like the part of the mask provision stayed in force, which is that they're making it basically it's like wearing a mask with the intent to commit a crime. Is a crime,
right?
Which, but the thing is, that lets the cops like determine,
right, your intent.
Yeah. So, like, yeah,
it's one of those laws. Like, they do this a lot with gun laws, right? They pass gun laws that don't make anything that wasn't already illegal. They just make it so that if you're caught, you're going to prison for longer now.
Yeah, this is actually there are provisions like that in this too. There's also a bunch of random like gun provisions. There's some other like more nuts ones. Like there's one where cops can arrest you. So if they're trying to cite you for not paying a toll, if they claim that you didn't pay pay a transit fare, you have to give them your full name and address. And if you don't, they can arrest you. Which is nuts.
This is the like don't disrespect me on the train in front of everyone law, isn't it? Yeah. Like, that's what that is. Like, let's be honest.
There's another one. There's another one which is like I don't have another way to describe it other than this is the how to get away with murder bill, which is so one of the things that they're doing is letting cops review their own helmet footage before police inquiries. It's great. Like, this is the get the narrative straight bill.
Do they also get to edit it? Next.
I don't. Well, okay. So here's the thing about that. Quote unquote, no. However, these things mysteriously vanish. Time mysteriously disappears. There's also like a whole thing about like there are certain groups of people who the cops can just like force DNA collections from.
Oh, wow.
Which is, it's a lot less broad than it used to be, but yeah, it's still a provision in there. But yeah, this is a nightmarish bill that they've been able to pass. And, you know, I think it's worth thinking about why this is actually happening, which is that all of this stuff, all of these are long-range reactions to 2020, right? This was the sort of strategy after 2020 for rebuilding legitimacy of the police. And, you know, and also now rebuilding the, I don't know, psychological capacity, I guess.
Yeah.
To, you know, I mean, just deploy a bunch of troops on U.S. soil.
Right. Right. Yeah. Sort of building up that tolerance.
Yeah. And you know, like all of this stuff is sort of born on, on protest crackdowns. One of the things that's also sort of worth noting about this is all of this stuff. I mean, the D.C. crime bill had been in the works for a long time, but the subway stuff is all stuff that happened like pretty quickly after the Aaron Bushnell self-immolation. So a big part of this has been the sort of the Democratic ruling class kind of losing their minds after watching how widespread 2020 was, watching the extent to which they were forced to there are Democratic politicians in 2020, like talking about like, I mean, there are like elected people talking about defunding the police. There are like they're all. Do you remember the weird like that whole like kneeling thing in Congress? Yeah. They all did.
Oh, yeah, the picture of them all in kente with that was a powerful instance of cringe.
Yeah, but there's a lot of like there's the sort of memory of that has been sort of drilled deep into the Democratic Party. And so what has been happening this has been happening in blue states very explicitly is this strategy of hypermilitarization with the implicit but not very well concealed goal of putting everyone back in their place after 2020. And that is extremely grim. I mean, I'm glad the DC stuff isn't as bad as it was originally, because the original one were just like straight up a bunch of fascist shit. This is also fascist shit, but like not as unhinged as the original bills were. So,
right.
You know, it's like the tide of this stuff isn't inevitable, right? But also very, very powerful factions of the Democratic Party have decided that this is the thing that they want to do. And it absolutely sucks. And, you know, this is in a similar way to sort of the stuff on the border being bipartisan. I mean, at some point I'm going to do an episode about the absolute shit show that's been happening in Chicago where, yeah, they're like a kid got fucking measles in one of the migrant shelters in Pilsen in Chicago. And now the mayor's like evicting a bunch of people from the migrant shelters.
Jesus.
This is the thing, like in Chicago, I mean, there's just outside of like, you know, we're like outside of just like basically every like Walgreens or just on street corners, there's a bunch of refugee families like just sitting out there in the cold trying to get some money because there's fucking nothing for them here. And this is a bipartisan, you know, this is a bipartisan political project.
Yeah.
Just sort of sheer terror inflicted on the most vulnerable people in society.
Yeah, it's really depressing to hear that, just because I know that, like, you know, I see people here and then they get out and my friends see them and we take them to the airport and my friends feed them and look after them there and they get on their planes and we hope for the best for them, you know, and then just go to some other city where some other dog shit Democrat who lied 4 years ago is going to do everything they can to make life as hard for them as possible.
Yeah.
The good thing is you have to vote for them or you're voting for fascism. Woo. Woo. Hooray. How sad.
Yeah, that's what I got today. We'll be back tomorrow with something. What are we back tomorrow?
Yeah, it will be a podcast. It's tomorrow, Friday.
Tomorrow's Gaza Day, so it's not getting any better for you.
yeah, lucky you. Lucky you, tomorrow we'll be hearing from our friends at Parkour Gaza.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.